There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I received nothing but goodness. I tasted and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me his harvest. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord.
I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I got Jesus. How could I want more?
Good morning, 12th Street. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Woo!
I am so nervous. I don't know why. Everybody's family, everybody's friends. If you're not family, you're friends. And Lynn, none of that. All right, here we go. One of the few things that I have to announce is that Brian Cooper has said, please sign up for the home plate event. The money is due today, so see Brian, make arrangements with him, and please get that going. That's an awesome adventure for your family, for your wife, for your friends, for your kids to go and fellowship and have a good time with everybody. So we want you to sign up for that and go. There is limited seating, but I don't think we're going to max out on the bus anyway, but it's a good fun time to go to. Guys, I have had an incredible week, always. God has always provided what he needs in my life. And it was just like a mountaintop experience this week. We had an opportunity to go see Big Daddy Weave with the youth group on Friday night in Hudsonville, and it was awesome. Those guys, if you know, yes, thank you. if you know Big Daddy Weave, they are humble men. of God. And they sing, and they bring God right here to our hearts. And when we're listening to their stories and their struggles, and one of their favorite songs that they sing is I Am Redeemed, and I love, love, love that song. And they wrote that song, and one of the guys that was riding with them decided that was his song. He loved their song. They wrote it. It was his song. They wrote it for him. And a lot of the songs that we sing, we can relate to what we're going through in our life. And so that man, I can't remember the guy's name, but that man wrote a song for Big Daddy Weave and the things that they were struggling with. And the story was incredible. And the worship was like right there. You're right there in heaven. And God did amazing things that night. And I was thinking, I've got to do announcements Sunday morning. What am I going to say? I don't want to read word for word these announcements. I know almost every person in this auditorium can read and has a bulletin and can take it home and read it and put it on the refrigerator and can read every announcement that's in there. If I can tell you about a mountaintop experience that I had this week, I said, I think that's more important than what the announcements say. Now, don't go back and tell Pastor, oh, he won't announce those announcements, but you guys can read, okay? You know me. I don't follow suit. I just do my own path, and God blesses that. So the other thing I wanted to tell you is when I got home from Big Daddy Weave at about 11:30, Caleb and Tammy had rented some DVDs. We still do that. And Caleb had said, Dad, remember that one that you wanted to rent over vacation? I'm like, sure, okay, I'll go along with it. And then he said, remember the one that was I Can Only Imagine? Oh. He said, can we watch it this weekend? Yeah. So Big Daddy Weave Friday night with the youth group, with some friends and family. And then I Can Only Imagine Saturday evening, talking about Mercy Me and the struggles of one man that was abused and not popular with his family, and his mom left the family, abusive father, and he wrote, I Can Only Imagine. I'd like to hear stories about how God has touched somebody's life, and they can touch so many other millions of people through that one man's song, and how he overcame everything that happened in his life as a young boy, being beaten down and told you're never going to amount to anything, and God intervened. And God made sure the boy was successful. And he got up there to sing the song. It wasn't a dry eye in our household this weekend. And I'm like, God, you are so amazing. And you are so good. How can I tell that to 12th Street Baptist Church? God is alive. And God is doing great things at 12th Street Baptist Church, folks. You've got to get on the train. And you've got to get on the bandwagon. You've got to get on his train and go the way he's going. You got to get involved in some of these programs that are written out in that bulletin. You got to do that. I'm telling you something else. 600 people were here Sunday night. Do you know how many people sit in this auditorium? 750. And we had 600 here Sunday night for an Upward basketball program. Now, to me, that Upward program is more important than I'm going to step on your toes to March Madness, okay? It's more important because I'll tell you what, this is some of the stats. 33 adults said that they have a deepening relationship with Christ because we put together an awesome program of Upward and presented the gospel at our halftime shows and stuff. 33. We did an actual survey. 25 parents, adults, wrote down on their survey that their children, their kids in the Upward program went home and told their parents what they learned about Christ or about Jesus at the Upward program. Is that phenomenal? And the best news at all, guys, God is in the business to save people. And if nobody gets saved, we need to shut down the doors and move out and go back to our own ways. But God is in the saving business. And 5 adults gave their life to heart in Christ this week for the Upward program. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? Somebody else that's amazing in my life, and that's Mike Kaler. You know what? He's a good guy. I pick on him all the time. He is a great guy. And he wanted to say a word of thank you to some of those that were here. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to him.
Every halftime at the basketball games, we have somebody come in and give a halftime testimony, and there were 10 people 10 men from our church that came out and gave testimony. And like Carl said, Pastor Carl said, they rapid fired their gospel. I mean, they got the people there at Upward got the gospel every week. And I just want to name them off. They don't have to stand or anything. I know some of them aren't here. Pastor was the first week. Joel Ritzema was the second week. There was Jim Dieters for the third week. And then Carl was the fourth week. Pastor Carl was the fourth week. I keep calling Carl, and it's Pastor Carl. Then Jorge Cortez. Then Brendan Burkett. Then we had Paul Eversberger. Then we had Scott Randolph for half the day, and I took the other half. Then we had Don Kilburn and Jack Otto. And I just want to really appreciate all those guys that came out to do that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mike. Mike, how many times do they have to present the gospel, like when they're signed up for a full day? Eight times? Or? Seven or eight times you give your story. So I'm telling you what, you need to step out of your comfort zone, which is leading me to a challenge, because you love a challenge. Okay, stepping out of your comfort zone isn't the wrong thing to do. Somebody quoted one time, and I wish I would have known who quoted it. Step out of your comfort zone so far that you've lost your way back, and you can't go back, because then you have to totally rely on God and what God's going to do. So now, how many are willing to step out of their comfort zone? Okay, so I forgot a little bit of business, so you know how I am, ADD. Okay, we have a business meeting right as soon as the service is over with. We'll dismiss, and then we'll do 5 minutes, and then we'll come back into the business meeting. Please be a part of that. It's important for the church. Okay, back to the challenge. If you're willing to say, you know what, I want to step out of my comfort zone. Uh-oh, it's going to start with you on the pew this morning. So when we do our meet and greet, I want to challenge you. I want to see one person, not with a hand of raise of hands. I want to see one person that'll go and sit with somebody that they've never sat with before. Oh my goodness, I'd have to get out of my own pew. This is my pew. This is where I've sat forever. This is where my Bible goes. Get out of that pew and go sit with someone that you've never done before. Please stand, and we'll get you into your meet and greet, okay? Please stand. I'll say a prayer, and then I need one person to just move and go say hi to somebody and say, I'm going to join you for the service today. Because I think getting us out of the comfort zone is going to prepare our hearts for what Brother Carl has already on his heart for us today. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, you are awesome. You are always awesome. You always provide our needs. You always give us just what we need to get through today. You don't say tomorrow. You always say just provide for the moment. And Father, we know that you're a part of this church. You're part of our congregation today. You're here. And Lord, you're also in Jamaica with our pastor, and you're also with those that are traveling. And Father, we just want you to open our hearts. Get us out of our comfort zone. Make us nervous. But Lord, we just totally have to rely on you. We thank you for our friends and family. We're going to go hug their necks in a minute. But Lord, just challenge somebody to just go sit by somebody else that they've never met or maybe never sat by, which would be incredible. Father, thank you for your son, for him dying on the cross for me, that his blood that was applied covered my sins. Father, thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, go do your deal. Yep. Then I'll come up and I'll introduce you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you?
Grayson came down to sit with you.
Comfort zone, right? You got to get out of your comfort zone. Come on. Yeah, you don't want me to try to turn on something.
All right, as you're making your way back to your new seat this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with the Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
You know, this week, while our pastor and his family are down in Jamaica, we need to really bathe them in prayer.
holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I will worship your holy name.
Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just want to remember our pastor and his family. Father, we just pray that as they're traveling and working, spreading the gospel, Father, we just pray that you'd be with them, you'd protect them. Father, that your spirit would, you'd be able to pour your spirit out through them and reach the people in Jamaica. Father, we want to pray for Pastor Carl as he comes this morning, Lord. We just pray you'd pour your spirit out on him as well. Father, we just pray that our hearts are ready for the message that he's got for us this morning. And Lord, we just pray you forgive us if we failed you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the ushers come forward, please.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you give us, Lord. We thank you for everybody that can be here today. We pray that you be with those who are on the road for the spring break, and we ask that you bless this offering. Be with Pastor Carl. He gives a message. Help us to apply it to our lives each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Anytime you're ready. Good morning, family. How's everybody? Good. I'm going to introduce the Easter season this morning with a song called Via Dolorosa. In Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, triste día en Jerusalén. Los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba Ar ver al que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la vía dolorosa, que es la vía del dolor. Como veja, vino Cristo, Rey Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti y por mí. Por la vía dolorosa al Calvario y a morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Thank you very much, Miss Cheryl. You have blessed us this morning with that song. I was going to say, live from Vandalia, Michigan, currently residing in Pawpaw, Michigan, and looking forward to his future home in Kalamazoo, getting closer to the church. But this man that's coming this morning to speak is a blessing to me, to this church, to my family. If you haven't met him, shame on you, because he is out there trying to meet you. So quit running, quit hiding, and you got to get a hug from Brother Carl. When he came, and I didn't know what a communications pastor was, and he is out there to communicate to you that God loves you and that he wants to hold you accountable and you hold him accountable and encourage one another. I love his hugs. I love his smile. I love his family, and he's a go-getter, folks. He ain't just somebody just sits on the pew. He's a go-getter. He goes after it. So his voice is struggling this morning. So I want you to pray for that, because if anybody can heal, we know the master physician. So I would like to introduce to you Pastor Brother Carl. Please come and preach the word of God to us this morning. I love you, brother.
Hello, everybody.
Morning.
You know, I've been without my kids this whole weekend. I'd love to see them some more, but they'd rather be in children's church, so we better dismiss all the kids. Children's church, go ahead and get your little people church on. Today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. And my voice is struggling today. I've been joking with people and telling them we moved into the Stout's house yesterday, and we're going to be there temporarily until the house we're buying is finished. And so I've been telling people, yeah, you know, people were helping us move, and I lost my voice screaming at them. But that's not true. I didn't know what was going on. I can't move anything. So I just want to say thank you to Ken Youngs for coming out and hooking us up. Brendan, and some other people that came out locally from Vandalia that you all don't know. And when we move to our house, it's going to be a big party, so we're going to need some more help. So we're going to have pizza and all that jazz, none of which I can eat, right? But I sure will enjoy the smells, all right? Good. Let's pray, okay? Let's pray. because this is not about me or having a good time. Man, I want to do this right. God, we want to do this your way. This is about you. We have laughs and we enjoy. We just enjoy so much about what you've given us. You know, God, this country is almost too much. You've shown me that. We're rich. Even our poor people are rich. God, a bad day for us is when we got sniffles, when we lose a bit of our voice, when our car breaks down, our personal chariot, when we got a leaky roof, our kids won't be quiet, when someone's breath is bad, when we don't like the tone of someone's voice, Lord, we just get all sorts of twisted up about things that don't matter. And when we get sick, when someone dies, when we lose everything, still you're good. God, help us not to be anxious for anything. Help us not to be all caught up in this life, whether it's small things or seemingly big things. Nothing's bigger than you. So I pray through your word today we'll come to an understanding of just how awesome you are. Speak through me, God. Let the words leap off the pages, compel people to seek you and to know you through your word, through time alone with you in prayer, and through knowing you experientially as they follow after your son, the Lord Jesus, in loving others and suffering. Amen. All right. I'm going to set a timer here so we can be sort of done on time, right? I want to be respectful of people's time. But I also want to make sure I do what needs to be done, say what needs to be said. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, and some of the things we're going to be talking about today is concluding our discussion throughout all these weeks in our studies about what it is to be salty. Pastor Thass has come up here. He's done a phenomenal job of just laying it down. It's like we built a house, and we took it brick by brick, and we know every brick. We inspected every part of that building if we would equate the building to our study, right? We did it together. And so today we're going to bring it to a close, and I'm going to urge you. Today I'm going to exhort you, to challenge you, to practice what's been preached. And we've been doing that this whole time, but today, man, today, I want us to really dedicate ourselves to this. I want us to think about what's in the way. You know, we have a unique struggle here in the West, a unique struggle as Americans. We're so comfortable. We're so comfortable. I'm so comfortable. We're going to have 3 points we're going to look at today. And if I can focus, we'll hit every single one. In 1 Peter 4, I'd like to present to you 3 things that's brought from verses 1 through 11, and that would be to deny your fleshly desires and to suffer with Christ. Since the end is near, to be sober, that is to see the world for what it is, damned, destined for destruction, and to prayerfully seek God's work. And the third piece, to do God's work, to love as God has loved. So let's take a look at what that means. Let's read through the passage here carefully. I want to make sure I say this because God's word is awesome. On Thursdays, Brendan, myself, and Thaddeus, we sit down and we just go through God's word and we talk to one another. When I meet with people, we sit down and we talk about the Lord. But my goal is that at some point, and that's happening with many of the men I'm sitting down with, we're going through God's word and we're talking to one another. And we just urge each other to do what God's called for us to do. I need reminding. I'm not special. And so I want to tell you, as we go into this, I'm going to start getting real. Somebody might not like me after today, but I have to say it. If you're not reading God's word, then you're not following him. Jesus said that if you continue in my word, or if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He says, I'm the light of the world. And he who would follow after me shall no longer walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We're called to deny ourselves. We're called to have our minds changed in agreement with God, going one way and then turning and going with him forever in agreement. And so I want to tell you, if you're struggling to read your Bible, you're struggling to get out of bed, basically. If you haven't picked up the word of God, you're like a soldier who's neglected to furnish his or her firearm. You're like an architect trying to build without any plans. It's pure foolishness to try and say you're a Christian and not be in the word of God. And if you're struggling with that, don't be ashamed. You better ask for some help. And there are lots of people that would love to bring you that help, to help one another, okay? All right, let's get started here. God bless your word, please, and thank you. For as much, then, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, 1 Peter 4, verse 1, arm yourselves likewise in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in the lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this reason was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Let's pause there. You know, as Christians, little Christ, follower of Jesus, our goal is to be like our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to do things the way he did it when he was here in his earthly ministry, when he laid down the example for us. And so, when Jesus came, he didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and even to give his life a ransom for many. When Jesus came, he didn't do anything for his own pleasure, but rather he sought the benefit of others. You see, Jesus came and his entire life was totally, unwaveringly committed in obedience as he followed the will of his Father, being led of his Spirit, and loving others, even giving of his own life, so that through him, we might have life also. You know, that first point, deny your fleshly desires. Suffer with Christ. You're crucified with Christ. So endure the evil of the world and follow Christ in selfless, loving ministry. I want to look at Romans 6, 12, 13. Romans 6, really, this is something that's repeated over and over again throughout Scripture, the idea of one having died for all. Hebrews tells us that Christ tasted death for all men. There's a significance in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to recognize in our lives. And Paul urges us that in Romans 6. And I had just a couple verses listed, but I think it's important for us to have the full scope here. And so, Lord, which verse should I start with? I love this. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being ransomed from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, or in this manner, in this fashion, similarly, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You know, we talked about this in our small group. This awesome concept, you know, we understand the truth of the gospel, that we once were lost in sin, we had no choice but to obey the lust of our mind and the lust of our flesh. We were dead to God in this fashion, that he had word, he had instructions, he has law, he has standards, and we didn't even have a clue, let alone an ability to respond. It was like talking to dead people. But then Jesus came. He set an example of what it is to be alive unto God, responsive to his word perfectly. So much so, obedient unto death. And then was raised again, showing that God is faithful to preserve the righteous. That God has power over death and sin. And so now we, following after Christ through faith, trusting that God's going to keep his promise, experience a power. That we can respond to God in obedience because God is alive in us. You know, let me put it this way. I remember God just giving me a picture in my mind, the idea of an instrument, and I think this has Instruments can be many things, tools to be used to build things, but think about music, right? We aren't anything special. We serve masters. That's it. That's what we've been made to do, to serve God. And when we rebelled, we didn't become something special. We still are servants, and we could submit ourselves unto Satan or unto Christ. And the idea of being used as an instrument, you know, do you want to submit yourself like you used to be, which is some instrument picked up by Satan, playing his tune unto the dishonor of yourself? In the hatred of God, pure rebellious music, where in the end of it is death and destruction, because God's not going to stand for it forever. Or will you submit yourself unto God? Take all of me, Lord, and play sweet music. Use me and play sweet music that is glorifying to you, pleasant to you, and edifying to other people, unto life. Is that making sense? There's a picture here where we have a choice. Now we're in Christ. Don't go back to what you used to be, living like you used to be, which was for yourself. But be like Christ. And it's difficult. You know, it's interesting. In 1 Peter, what's said in that first verse, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." You know, we want to be holy. We're going to really close with this. The will of God, which is to love one another. But I just really want to urge you. I want to take my time. I don't want to try and preach some big sermon. Maybe if we don't make it past point one. But are you understanding this? As Americans, it's so difficult because there's some way for us to spend our lives in pleasure and relaxation. Some of us are hustling as hard as we can to get to retirement, only to have nothing to do. What are we so busy about? A lot of us got ourselves in all sorts of busyness to build some kind of something, and we can't even describe what it is. We got to hire somebody to write it down for us. Our plan for life, our goals. Lord, help me. What do I want to say to you? Have you made up in your mind that you will no longer live for yourself, but because one died for all, that all should live unto that one, Christ Jesus? Have you made that up in your mind? Have you decided that you're finished with pleasing you and now you will please God? And what does God want? He wants you, no matter how hard and how much suffering is in the way, to love others as he has loved you. Have you made that commitment? Because that's what it is to call him Lord. To submit yourself, say, God, use me. I don't care what it is. You use me like you used Jesus. What happened to Jesus? We just heard a song about it. There's a lot of suffering involved. Are you ready for that? I want to encourage us to be practical in how we submit ourselves to the Lord in home. You know, God's word tells us, husbands, how we should live at home. And according to the knowledge that God has given us about how we should be men, That's how we should live towards our wives, to the honor of God. Understanding this, that they're joining us in receiving the kingdom to come. Are we forsaking all of ourselves so that we can meet the needs of our wives and urge them to pursue Christ with everything, including being an example for our wives? Or are we just hanging out? Is that your life's purpose? To equip your wife to bring honor to God? Or do you take your ministry shoes off when you get home, right at the door, and now it's all about you? Are you going to God and saying, Lord, equip me, please? I don't know what to do. I don't even understand this book. You must give me wisdom, or what you want to have done in my wife will not happen, God. Are you desperate for God to work in you to change your wife for his glory? Or are you casually walking through your house? Can I tell you right now, before you start feeling bad about yourself or condemned, I struggle just the same. Man, I want to tell you that. Because when I read this book and I learn about how good he is, I got to get over myself and my insecurities, and I say, God, you're big enough. Now you understand what it is to be dependent. Oh, God, I messed up. I'm not married anymore. He's got a plan for that too. What about your kids, fathers, wives? Are you begging God for wisdom to raise your children or the children who are in your life? Are you going to nurture them up in the Lord? Are you being casual, thinking about yourself? Do you have goals that have nothing to do with God's eternal glory? When you take your kids, are you trying to make them great contributors to society, this society of filth, this society that mocks God, denies God, and abhors your faith? Or are you going to raise up warriors that will repel lies and evil because you've so equipped them with the word of God, being led of God's wisdom in your home? Are you Christians? Raising up Christians is what I'm asking. Is that your life's purpose? Because if it's not, you better check yourself. And if you can't check yourself, you better invite somebody who will with love. That's why we're getting to know each other, because we prove to each other we don't bite, right? How many hugs you need to start trusting each other? That's what this is about. When you take your kids, I don't want to condemn sports, I don't want to condemn activities, but you take your kids out there, you're equipping them to be salty kids among dead folks, among disease, to be light among darkness. Are you equipping them for that? When you go out, because you can't be at church, that's all right, I guess. You're on a mission, right? Pastor and his family is not here. We are okay with that. Why? Because they're on a mission. Have you been sent out Sunday? You can't make it a small group. That's fine. Is it because you've been sent out? And if you've been sent out, can I ask you, are you intentionally getting your family together and saying, okay, when we go to said activity, this is what we are, this is who we are. We're followers of Jesus. We're salt and light. Verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, the whole idea of sobriety is that I don't have anything that is affecting my judgment to see things clearly as they are. I want to see this world as what it is, damned. So many of us consider ourselves rescued out of a fire or a war zone, and we're taken back to a refugee camp, and we just say, oh, Lord, thank you for saving me. It was so horrible. And you're relieved, and it's a wonderful thing. You should be. And you're so grateful. Oh, man. I could be like the others who are still in that mess. But some time passes by, and next thing you know, you're sitting back drinking coffee with the rest of the refugees, and now you're relaxed refugees. And while you got the same people who saved your butt running in and out, tired, you sitting back there complaining about how the coffee tastes, and occasionally reminiscing about how good it is to be safe. We're like people that come in to our homes having been rescued and given a home of God, and we don't treat it like a home base to go there, get equipped, and to go out. We treat it like home, and we close the door so nobody will bother us. We shut the windows and the blinds so we can't see the fires, and we turn up the entertainment so we can't hear the screaming outside. You know, when the people of Israel were rescued out of Babylon, and they were sent back home, amazing thing God did. They were going to rebuild the temple, and then they got sidetracked. You know what Haggai came and had to tell them from the Lord? You over here got paneled houses, hooking yourselves up, and God's house lies in ruins. You know, God's building his house today. It's called the church, and he's going to build it. But are you a part of his work? Or are you sitting back chilling while God's got a few people just wore out? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Isn't it crazy that that's always going to be true? That's always going to be true. Isn't that amazing? But are you going to be a part of that truth, that the laborers are few? Let's wrap it up here. We want to be sober-minded. We want to see the world for what it is. We want to have our mind in a place where we see this place for what it is, and we have an understanding of who we are and of where we're going, where we came from and where we're going. What the mission is, let's do it. We got too many people here who have business experience. You already know. You have to know what the plan is. You have to understand what your role is. This is no different. This ain't no social club, y'all. This is a rescue mission. Okay, so prayerfully, we got to do it prayerfully, but there's so much we could talk about, but let's finish it up. Let's talk about practicality, because we're already going to be a few minutes late, and if you're mad, I'm sorry, I really take this seriously. We can have a conversation about being a little bit late. I do want to be respectful of your time, but I need to finish these points. Verse 9 through 11 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I'll write on, I'll say, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We want to live like people who are going to come face to face with God one day, because it's going to happen. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be judged according to the deeds performed in the body, whether good or bad. Everything we're going to have a discussion with the Master about. And many of us are going to be like, yeah, come on. Why? Because we're not ashamed entering his presence. We know that our sin is going to be thrown away. All the works and the deeds of flesh will be burnt up, thrown away. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that. And everything else, and we know he's done a lot in our lives. We've seen him work. Everything else is going to be awesome reward. And it's going to be, I mean, everything, we're going to give it to him. Because it's like, he's the one who did it. Lord, I was used of you. You played me. And it was beautiful. But some of us are going to come before him. We're just going to be people whoo, getting in, saved from the flames. Just made it. But we're going to have nothing to give him. Why? Because our life was just made up of our own things. It'll all be burnt up. But, you know, praise God, you made it. And that is something. But don't you know what you're saved into? You're saved into a kingdom where you have a purpose and you have a role, and there's no higher calling than to be a child of God. So when we serve, we want to serve without complaining. You know, I got to tell you what, I've heard some complaining here. Everybody does a great job, but if I'm going to be true to exhortation, I got to talk to this church. I've heard some complaining, y'all. You know, can I tell you, I've been guilty of complaining, y'all. Can we hold each other accountable to stop the complaining? Here's why. It's God's work. There's going to be suffering, so let's suffer well. And let's rejoice, knowing that we're going to be more than compensated, because the troubles and the hardship that we experience doesn't at all compare with the glory that is to come. Let's believe that. Let's receive that. For those who are wondering, how do I know what my gift is? God's gifted me. Okay, what is it? You know, the fact is you have been gifted. I tell you, jump in. Start serving. Bible tells us a man plans his way, but God orders his steps. Just jump in. Start meeting needs. Don't sweat it. God is in control of everything. In closing here, Christ is going to return, and we can have joy. Verse 13 we looked at. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. But there's another response that's going to take place. 1 John 2:28 tells us something. Says this. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We already looked at that. Jesus shows up suddenly. We don't want to be like, oh, man, I better. Not like you could get an email. Says, hey, 15 years. Want to let you know, right? It's not really funny, because I want to see evidence of God in my life. There's a lot of people that are going to be showing up to the Lord going, oh, Lord, don't you know? Didn't you see when I, because I did, because I was. He's going to say, you were a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Scripture tells us we can make our call and election sure. We want to see God alive and at work in us. That's another sermon. Let's say you are trying to figure out this whole thing with God. I don't know who's wrestling with salvation, but I'll tell you this right now. Closing with John 5:24. It's awesome. God's word, it just gives us everything we need. God tells us, he gives us everything we need to live a life of godliness in him. It starts right here. You'll be thoroughly equipped for every good work with God's word. Get in it, please. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from life. Pass from death unto life. And he says something pretty interesting starting in verse 28. He says, marvel not at this, talking about the authority God has given him for judgment. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. If you have not trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no hope. There is sin, that separates us from God. He is holy. He will not have anything to do with wickedness. And he, desiring justice and holiness, is right. But because of his wonderful love, I mean, this doesn't make any sense, but it's beautiful. Because people say, oh, who is he? Oh, how could he? But he sent his son. He didn't send a neighbor. He didn't send an angel. Because they couldn't have done nothing. But he sent his son, who himself is God, to this earth, condescending, taking on flesh to walk among an unholy, horrible people. Suffered much, endured lies, and allowed himself to be hung on a tree in the most humiliating fashion. And not only that, he took on the sin of the world and he died. And then he rose again. And that's where our hope lies in. You know, I really hope today that you thought about some of the things we discussed. I don't want to be a pastor that's just likable. This is what we're going to talk about when we get together. Guys, people are dying. We were just in Grand Rapids the other day, and a man walked past me looking like a woman. I just went to go visit Papa High School, and I heard all sorts of things about a shooting that almost happened. And other shootings I didn't even know happened. And the things that young people are struggling with, it's amazing. If you're old, you got work to do. God's equipped you. If you're young, you've got work. God has equipped you. If you think you're stupid, doesn't matter. God's equipped you. You're wrong. And God's equipped you. If you think you're smart, you're wrong. Humble yourself. God's equipped you. Nobody here has an excuse not to be in their word. Nobody has an excuse when they have time not to be gathering with God's people, getting equipped and equipping others to go do his work. You better start acting like Jesus is going to show up tomorrow. You better start acting like somebody's going to die today, because someone is dying right now. Right now. And if we're late, I'm sorry. But you better stop being an American. You better start being a Christian. Father God, I just want you to do something in me, in my brothers, in my sisters. God, we can't just keep being casual, Lord. I'm so casual. Forgive me. Thank you for enduring and bearing with my wickedness and my weakness. But I love the weakness, God, because your strength is made known. You take away my voice, and your word is louder than it could be if I could speak clearly. And Lord, I just pray that as people consider their relationship with you, that they would just be patient with themselves, knowing you're patient with us. We want to be in agreement with you. We're a work of progress, God. We're wood that you're carving into a beautiful image of yourself. We're clay being formed into vessels of honor for you to fill with your goodness and to pour out for your purposes. God, we want you to be high and lifted up, for you to be known as the God above all gods, the only true God, the Lord, the only one who satisfies, and that all the things in this world that would dare tempt to satisfy us would be revealed as what they are, lies. God, I pray that if we're struggling with any form of a desire for this world and the things of this world to become somebody's, that instead, Lord, we would see just how beautiful it is to be a nobody. God, you are the only one that matters. So, Lord, I pray that you'll wipe away the apathy. And for those that are hustling, God, I pray that their strength will just rest entirely on you. They'll come from you. That they won't hustle for the sake of hustling. They won't do good things for the sake of doing good things. They're trying to impress you. But they would genuinely have a desire to see people healed and saved and built up Lord, help us to be intentional with the time. Help us to redeem the days for their evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us?
One other thing I just want to say. Come on down here if you want to have some prayer. If you want to know Christ. If you want to get your life right. I'd love to pray with you. Because I got some stuff God's got to work out in me. And so we can pray and help each other, okay?
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need.
With the time that you have. And I want to be patient. I don't want you to feel like I'm beating people up. God's building us, so we should celebrate too. So don't forget to rejoice. Father God, we just thank you so much. I have the privilege of knowing the stories behind many of the faces out here. I have the privilege of hearing the prayers. I have the privilege of sitting dumbfounded without anything to say, only to watch you give them exactly what they need in spite of me. And that's what we want, God, for you to be seen as the true pastor, the good shepherd, as we have in the example of your son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for sending him. And so, Lord, we want your name to be lifted up in Christ. We want you to be glorified in us, and not we in ourselves, but rather we glorified in you. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for equipping us in Christ Jesus, through whom we have access to you, our Father, and by whom we are being built up. May you get all the glory and be praised forever and ever, and we'll be there to see it. Amen. Five minutes, business meeting.
Oh, Clorox.
Oh, okay. All right. As long as it ain't slobber or something. Yeah, yeah. I hear you there.
We're home, man. We're home. I'm glad to be home. Oh, yeah.
What are you doing back here? You're supposed to start.
You want me to call it?
No, I was going to just go over the plan.
Okay,
I've got the handouts that they're supposed to show up, hand out. And
so do you just want me to pretty much, as Pastor said?
Yeah, just go right through. these committees, you know, we don't vote on the deacons, but we do vote.
Am I doing all that?
Well, no, but I'm just saying what I... Oh. When you're done, just hand the paper to me, and I'll take over. Just kind of leave your finger where we left off, and I'll be right there with you, so...
I'm just going to go up there and cross my arms and let you do it all.
I'll talk to your wife afterwards. And we'll